Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's that bumper again.
Oh, what's this I got to read? Oh, yeah. 844-RADIO-US. 844-RADIO-US. Hosts 2020 at cyber-line.com. Facebook.com/CyberlineNet. And the Tweety, CyberlineUSA. Okay, so wrapping up on the internet piece, we were talking about the latency and all of that, because so I seem to be vindicated. Cindy probably didn't know one way or the other, but I was thinking, gee, I hope I'm not giving the kid, you know, old information. So it sounds like I'm good in that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, no, latency and the number of hops. I mean, it really comes down to that. How long does it take for turnaround time? How many hops do you have? And really, they're kind of part and parcel of the same thing to a degree, because if you're trying to go to a particular site that may be halfway around the world, you're going to see a turnaround that's going to be kind of slow. It may send you the data very quickly, but it's just like, here's a better example, and that is, you see a lot of times on TV, they'll do an interview over halfway around the world.
Yeah.
What ends up happening there, you'll have the interviewer, they'll ask a question, and then there's a pause.
Yep.
It's like it waits for a full second or two, and you're like going, is this person going to answer or not? You know, and finally they answer, but it's not because anybody was dumbfounded or, you know, I don't know what to say or anything like that. It's because it took a full second or two for that video and audio to get all the way around the world. It took another second or two for their, and once they started their answer, for that to come back to here. So you're seeing a turnaround time of, you know, perhaps 2 seconds delay, and it feels odd. Well, same thing about your internet. Whenever you're trying to play games or you're trying to just get quick feedback, well, it doesn't happen as fast depending on how far that site is.
I had an argument with a customer one time, and they were watching a football game, or I don't know, maybe it was the Grammys or halftime or something, and they were complaining about delay. So, well, mm-hmm. I think this is delay because I look at it on your system, and I look at it on my TV through the antenna, and there's a long delay. And I said, well, first off, thanks to Janet Jackson, there's a good 10-second delay on everything now, especially when it's live.
Uh-huh.
You know, what happened with the wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl? Remember
yeah.
that one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody remembers that
and
one.
And then what was it? Bono, U2 won a Grammy or somebody won it, and he dropped an F-bomb, went effing amazing. I think Prince dropped one, and so they started doing that. But what they also don't understand is that there's delay coming from there. And he had the TV on or something, and this is something you can do. You can put the TV on, and it could be even an antenna, and then you call somebody and have them put their TV onto the same channel, especially if it's a network like ABC or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear the other person's TV, and you'll hear yours, and you will see that there's about a 2-second delay on average. And
right.
That's the time it takes for that signal to get up to the satellite and then downlink down and go through the systems.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, see it in your TV.
And remember,
complained about delay and everything. It's like, hey, that's out of my control.
And remember, too, what you're one good example is that when people call in to a radio show,
yeah,
typically, since there is a 7-second delay,
if they start listening, it
gets really confusing if they listen to the radio live.
That's why they tell you turn down your radio.
That's right, because you'll hear the same conversation 7 to 10 seconds earlier on the phone.
And I don't know how it does it. I used to know, but I don't remember. You ever notice the ones that do that? And you'll get back feedback that sounds like a sonar ping. That happens sometimes. You know, the ping, ding, ding.
Oh, yeah.
And you know the radio's on.
Sure.
And I don't know what it's like, different systems or what the deal is, but you won't hear the other person on the phone. They'll, you know, have the radio on, and it sounds like a sonar ping.
Right. If you get that feedback, it's just crazy.
And if you don't want to be hung on, and you've stayed on all that time, don't listen to the radio, because the minute we hear you, you know, turn your radio down. You need to turn your radio down. Youngstown, Ohio, hello. But delay is also there, too, to keep you guys from, you know, saying bad words.
Yeah.
And we just go, bloop, oh, I'm sorry. Did that F-bomb not come through? Well, shucks to be you, Bunky. That's an FCC thing now. And, of course, after the wardrobe malfunction, even more pressing.
Yes. So, you know what? One other thing that they forgot to put on this, I was kind of looking at it going, I'd like to know one more thing on these broadband facts. And that is, they don't have the way you get an IP address. And that is because you can either get a publicly available IP address or a private IP address. Well, most every internet service provider, they're just giving you the private IP addresses now. And then you're going through a router and you're going through their stuff. And that's how everything.
Then if you're doing something, you got to have it. Was it static? So it doesn't change.
Yeah.
And boy, they love to charge you for those.
They love to charge you for the static IP addresses.
So if you're running a system or a website, or a lot of times people run an internet radio station in their house. And if you turn around and get disconnected, well, then you reconnect. They can't find you because it automatically changed you to a different IP. So if we get a section of static IPs, it stays that way all the time, even if you turn everything off, short of zapping the router and knocking everything out.
Well, typically they can't change it too fast. I mean, granted, they could change it every hour if they so chose for the allocation of that IP address, but it gets to be problematic even for them, because then all of a sudden, if you're changing out the IP address of this person, what happens if they're in the middle of a transaction, especially, you know, a download, or they're already connected to somebody? So they really can't do it that fast.
Something on eBay.
Yeah. So typically it's been my experience that you wouldn't see it more than once a day, but on average, when I've seen it, frankly, you get an IP address, and as long as your router is up and connected, you're going to get that one IP address for a long time, at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, there was one I used for testing. It's like noip.com. And basically you set it up and it gives you an IP to help with the static. But then if something happens, it gets reset. Well, then you got to go back and refresh and it gives you another IP address.
Right.
It's a poor man's way of doing it. But like if you're testing out something like an internet radio station and you want to be able to get to it and check your systems and things, or have people on a closed circuit, you know, say, hey, I want you to listen to my station, see what you think. And then when you're happy with it, then you go get the static, and then, you know, everybody can get to it.
Right. You're right. They've got a lot of services out there, dynamic DNS type services.
Yeah.
And it allows you to get a domain name, and you'd basically put in, some public dynamic DNS service.com. And what would end up happening is you could connect up to Cyberline directly to the server, even though we would just, you know, if I ran something out of my house, but they'd be able to connect up to it because the IP address would change every time the server at my house changed. So it keeps you connected. The biggest issue with those are when there is a change of IP address, then all of a sudden the people that are connecting to you, they may have that IP address and connect to the wrong IP account. So you got to watch that. There's issues.
But just, you know, for testing, because like I said, you know, it's not cheap to go out and get a static IP and have all that set up. And then you come to find out, maybe this wasn't what I wanted to do. And then you've put all that money into it. At least this way, you can test your system and say, well, is it viable? How does it sound? Is this what I want to do? Yep, okay, now I can go spend the money and make it more permanent. Or it's like, no, I'm going to dismantle that project. Screw this. Mm-hmm. You move it on to something else.
Right. So nice to have those services, because then when you're out somewhere, you're always able to connect back to your machines if you needed to, especially if you're trying to remote into a machine. Remoting can be kind of a challenge in and of itself unless you've got the right connections. Now, I use a different service. Gosh, I got to go back and look. Offhand, I can't think of the name of the service. But I've got a service that just costs $60 a year. You know, pretty darn cheap for me to go anywhere, and I can just connect up to it, and I'm good.
Not the TeamViewer.
No, I had... you know what it's called? It's called SplashTop. That's who I use. Yeah, they're handy.
Okay. I have to look into that myself.
Yeah, well, no, it's great. They're not that expensive. I'm just using them for me, but it's like I can connect up to my machine, you know, just multiple machines easily, and the connection's seamless. It works great. I just go to, I end up going to a website. I say connect to this machine, and then all of a sudden, I've got to see every, I can see everything. It works really well.
Cool.
So there's other sites out there that you can do this as well, especially if you, if you do have one of those dynamic DNS services, you can do it just the same that way too. But I found it more convenient to be able to have, they would give me the software to run that actually was the viewer and everything. So they were both not just the service, but the connection link, but they were also the way to actually do the viewing as well. Made it really, really handy, very versatile. Good product.
Good. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit here because, you know, tax time is upon us.
Ah.
And everybody's getting their little paperwork and everything and should have the major stuff now by this week. But then there's a lot of things that you probably need to look into. And one of them is Bitcoin. Because, you know, the Biden administration, they want money. They want money for this Build Back Whatever and Rescue Me stuff and everything. And so there's like 70,000 IRS agents that they're planning to putting in. And, of course, they're trying to get in our accounts and everything. So there's been supposedly a questionnaire on the new tax forms wanting to know if you have Bitcoin. And how do they impact your taxes? Well, here's 10 possibilities. First off, Bitcoin is taxed as property. So just like stocks, bonds, or real estate, and although it's often used as a currency, it's not treated like a currency for tax purposes. Every time you sell, spend, or exchange Bitcoin, you've executed a taxable transaction. You'll either have a capital gain or a capital loss, depending on how you dispose it, unless it's by gifting somebody.
Right.
And any of the received from mining are taxable. So if you're mining Bitcoin, every coin you mine is taxable as ordinary income. And don't let the word ordinary fool you, because in IRS parlance, is taxed at the highest rates than long-term capital gains are. And basically what that means is that you've held the asset for 1 year or longer. And short-term, that's where you're going to get hit with the ordinary. And not only is that taxed as ordinary, but it's also self-employment income, so you'll own Social Security and Medicare taxes on your mining as well. So how do you answer that question on the top of the Form 1040? Well, it's simple. It's a 1040 crypto question, and there's a slight change from 2020 when the question also included sending any cryptocurrency. If you only purchase Bitcoin during 2021, you can answer no. Anytime during 2021, you'd receive, sell, exchange, or otherwise dispose of any financial interest in any currency. So how do you answer this? Well, you should answer it honestly. Will it get you audited? Probably not, since only 0.45% of taxpayers with incomes between $75,000 and $200,000 were audited in recent years. If you answer the question yes, IRS may look at your return and see that some Bitcoin transactions are reported, capital gains and money income mainly. And being paid in Bitcoin, being in Bitcoin are taxable events, and paying for Starbucks with Bitcoin is a taxable transaction. And you can also deduct your losses from trading Bitcoin. And if you've been looking at the market lately, Bitcoin has really gone down the dumper. So if you bought it and it went down, that's a capital loss versus a capital gain. And also exchanging it for, like, maybe you dumped all your Bitcoin out for Doge. Well, that's taxable. And the cryptocurrency exchanges do not report sales of assets the same manner as of stock brokerage. Every sale or mutual fund is reported, so you must show each sale in your tax return, even if it doesn't result in a gain. Reporting of cryptocurrency exchanges is, at this time, a mixed bag. And that's something that the U.S. government wants to wrap its arms around. And you can generally use a 1099-K or 1099-B for those things. But if they have it their way, they want to get all up in your Bitcoin. And, you know, we've got Bitcoin to say, nope, there's no bank or government that's going to lay its hands on it. Well, the Biden administration is thinking otherwise. So if you've got Bitcoin, you know, talk to a CPA if you're not sure. If you're doing stuff through H&R Block and everything, they should have the goodies on it to help you figure out what you want to do. But most of all, be mindful, because the government wants to get their hands on your Bitcoin.
Hmm.
So that's new for 2022.
Yeah, not bad. Well, I mean, see, you're bringing up the IRS and all that stuff. There was another article over at MSN.com.
Yeah.
They had IRS plan to scan your face prompts anger in Congress. Confusion amongst taxpayers.
Okay, stop there. stop, because we got 15 seconds left. All right, I'm shifting gears. We got to talk about this.
All right.
I was getting barraged with this week, and supposedly it's true. And I don't know about you, but I am not very damn happy about it, and I'm going to tell you why when we get back.
Okay.
844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. You're listening to McWilliam Cyberline. We're going to talk about that face recognition and Uncle Sam when we get back. Cyberline with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. Host 2020 at cyber-line.com. Facebook.com/CyberlineNet. And, of course, the ever-loving Tweety, Cyberline USA. Amy Lynn out there doing her thing. Social media is our arena. Okay, so we were going to touch on this whole facial recognition thing.
Yeah. Jeff Stein wrote an article over at MSN talking about the millions of Americans could soon have to scan their faces to access their Internal Revenue Service tax accounts.
No, we need to just protest in the streets on this. As my Shih Tzu says to me when I don't give him a milk bone, this is BS.
I am kind of on the fence about this one. I know. It's like, but because, I mean, think about it. They've got your driver's license already. They've got your, any of your global entry type stuff. If you do that, where else? You know, but here's the thing. If they're going to do the IRS and lock us in there, wouldn't it be nice to actually have that picture associated every time you go in to vote? Now, guess what you do? No longer do you have to bring in photo ID. Photo ID is right there.
I got to give it up to the IRS, but they'll tell me I'm a racist for having people stick their face in front of a camera and get their facial recognition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying they're requesting to bring that. They're going to bring this into that world. And if all of a sudden everybody has their pictures online or in the government.
How stupid this is.
Ah.
First off, there's a reason why there's not a lot of pictures of me on Facebook, because I don't want to be stuck in their facial recognition system.
Mm-hmm.
It's my, you know, my face, my choice. And the other thing is that you used to get a thing, was it every quarter from the Social Security Administration, and you open it up and it would tell you how much you made every year and everything. And if it does these calculations and says, if you were to retire at 65, this is how much you'd be paid per month. Well, they stopped doing that because of security issues. So now you can go out to the web and get it, which makes a lot of sense. But now they got to do that two friggin' authentication crap. So now you go in, you set a username and password.
Two-factor authentication.
Yeah, two freaking authentication, friggin' or whatever it is. I'm trying to be nice about the F because your mother's probably listening.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Hi, Mom.
So anyway, they send you a code and to your phone. And then you punch it in. Of course, now you have access to all your information. So if that's good enough for my Social Security, why do I got to give up my face to talk to a person at the IRS? Now, my understanding is, you know, if you go up and you got to pull down a form 1099 or W-4 or whatever, that's fine. But if you have to physically talk to a person at the IRS, they want to recognize your face.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I'm like, no, I got enough problems trying to touch the IRS. Do you know how long it takes to get somebody on a phone from the IRS?
I haven't had to call them.
3 minutes to the 12th of never.
That's a long time.
And now I got to jump through. Well, we need your facial recognition, Mr. Williams, before we can establish a phone call. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not doing very well. We're short-handed with the COVID. Can you come back tomorrow and rescan your face, please? No, right. It's not happening.
I'm just saying, if they're going to bring these pictures in, then I want them used for something that, you know, let's have the voter integrity part
okay.
of the whole thing
I'll
brought
compromise.
In. I want these pictures.
If they do that for voting,
uh-huh.
then I'll probably do it for the IRS.
Yeah,
but
why not?
I'm getting sick and tired of having my DNA running around, my credit scores running around. You know, oh my gosh, you can find just about anything about anybody short of a dog on the internet now. There's all these
sure.
databases, and then people are making money off your information.
You know, all of our licenses.
I'm not getting a cut. I'm not getting a piece of the action.
All of our licenses have pictures. They've got fingerprints. They've got our Social Security numbers attached to them as well.
Yep.
So why I don't know why we're not bringing these pictures and, you know, fine, have it automatically go over to the IRS, but I want it to automatically go over for our voter integrity. I want to have those things just automatically go over there.
So we're about to say, fine, you want our faces, then you better go voter. Oh, no, we can't do this. Then it's racist for you to have me at the IRS as a face.
Mm-hmm.
It runs both ways, kids.
Every voter ID ought to have the, you know, Social Security number.
IRS agents are racist if they want my face.
Hey, sounds got it.
So we'll see how that flies. But I'm seriously, man, you need to call your congressman, your senators, everybody, and say, you know what? If you're going to use my face for that, then this needs to be voter registration.
I think it'd be fantastic.
We'll just drop the racist card on them, too. All right, local news, national news. We come back. How'd you like to see Star Trek The Wrath of Khan again in the theater? A few
cool.
other things as well. Around the world via the internet, coast to coast via satellite. Listen to McWilliams Cyberline on USA Radio Network.